Now, what we're going to do tonight, and take a couple of weeks to do this, we're going to try to help you lay out how to put your own reference Bible together. And I know some of you who've been around for a while, you know, have got your own system, and that's great. And I'm not necessarily saying that this system is better than your system, whatever your system is. If it works for you, that's great. But I know a lot of you who are getting into the Bible have asked me, you know, what you do with all the material and how you lay all the material out. And I want to show you a system that will really work for you. And you can divide it. You can kind of take it from there. And one of the problems, you know, I've never ceased to amaze me why reference Bibles are, you know, the people that they come up with are so popular. You know, the older ones have been around for some of them 100 years, you know. The Scofield Reference Bible's been around forever. There's a one out by, you know, the Thomas Chain Reference Bible that has been around forever. Bollinger, he put out what he called the Companion Bible probably 100 years ago. And then there's Dake's Bible, which is a reference study Bible. Then you got all the modern ones, you know. It kind of got to be a deal where everybody that was on the radio or anybody was anybody was coming up with their own reference Bible, and everybody was jumping on the bandwagon. You know, Criswell come up with his, and you had John MacArthur's study Bible was out. I can't even name them all. The best one was the Jimmy Swaggart one. That's one that just said, give money on every page. But, you know, the problem with reference Bibles is, and I always thought there was a science to it, you know, why people were so enthralled with, I used to see people when they'd got a new Bible, like a Scofield Reference Bible or a Thompson Chain was a very popular one, you know. And I'll never forget, I've watched people, you know, when they get them as gifts or, you know, they buy their first study Bible or the first reference Bible, you know, there's always kind of an aura around it, you know, of what it is. And I know that people, you know, they say, I really, you know, like this Bible and, you know, maybe somebody special gave it to them or whatever, you know, and all of that. But those Bibles really, you know, in a sense, really they appeal to our flesh to a certain degree, because we all look at and think, you know, that we've got the Bible that holds the notes in it of some great Christian, you know, and now we're going to find out the secrets of the Bible that we got. And of course, that simply is not true. The reference Bible put out by Scofield, and you know, most it's funny. Another thing, you know, people swear by the Scofield Reference Bible. They don't even know who Scofield was. He could have been a Mormon for all they know. You know, they have no idea who Scofield was. They have no idea anything about him. They just know that their grandma and their grandpa told them about the old Scofield Reference Bible, and, you know, and then they come up with the new Scofield Reference Bible, and all they know is what they're told. They have no understanding or no idea of how the Word of God really, you know, in those books, in those Bibles, Reference Bible really work. And, of course, that's where you get into the problems. And the problem with reference Bibles is the fact that there's very few of them anymore. That C.I. Scofield was a great Christian. There's no question about it. He was a Civil War general. You know, he was a great man of God, and he probably knew a lot of things about the Bible. But you're not going to get Scofield's notes of what Scofield really thought by getting a Scofield reference Bible. And if you just take the time to go through the beginning of any reference Bible and just check out the board of editors. The board of editors are the men that take the Bible and you know, update it as far as the notes. And if you look at the Scofield, and you know, Scofield, old Scofield Bible was around for years and years and years. You can still get them. Then they come out with a new Scofield Reference Bible. And of course, if you look at the board of editors, really in either case, it would be hard to find a saved man on any one of them. And there's all kinds of guys that believe all kinds of things, from baptism, regeneration, right on down the line. And you find those guys correcting and putting in study notes that Scofield would roll over in his grave if he knew it was in there. Notes about things that Scofield certainly didn't believe. And you'll find, you know, in references to, you know, like in Acts chapter 8, where the Ethiopian eunuch gets baptized, you'll find in the footnote reference of a New Scofield Bible that baptism is one of two sacraments. Scofield didn't believe baptism was a sacrament, any way, shape, or form, any day in his life. And then you get over there in John 3, which talks about being born of the water and born of the Spirit. And the water there is certainly not water baptism in any way, shape, or form, but your physical birth. But yet they'll run it back to Ezekiel chapter 34, where it talks about somebody getting sprinkled with water and getting clean. Because the reference board believes in baptism regeneration and thinks you get saved by being baptized. So, all kinds of problems. And of course, the Thompson Chains reference is the greatest all-millennial Bible you could get. None of those guys believed, he didn't believe that Christ was coming back, and it's all through his Bible, and they're pretty worthless. When you come all down to it, and the thing I'm trying to get across to you today is the best reference Bible is your own. And you have to develop your own system. And it's a thing where you have to really figure out the Word of God, and then you get it down in a systematic form that you can understand it. I started studying the Bible and reading the Bible in the fall of 1971. That's 34 years ago. And then from that point on, you know, it was a process of just being a student of the Word of God. I would never classify myself as a Bible scholar. I'm a student of the Word of God. And, you know, I study it. I'm a student of it. I don't profess to be someone who, you know, has all the answers in it. I just believe it and you know, let the Holy Spirit of God put it there for there. But, you know, in the course of 34 years or so, I probably got 200,000 notes in my Bible in some form or the other. And, early on, I realized by reading someplace one time that there was 31,176 verses in the Bible, and I began to look at the Word of God as far as understanding that there was a doctrinal and an inspirational and a historical application to all scriptures. And so I realized that if I was ever going to learn the Bible, then I was going to have to get those references, those verses, cross-references with all the other verses. And that took about 10 years of my life, doing that, working about 4 or 5 hours a day on it. But the end result is that I got a pretty good understanding of how it kind of goes together. And what we're going to do, and my suggestion to you is this, I don't think you ought to try to put the notes in your Bible as we go. If you want to jot down some notes about some things I say, that's fine. But I think you'll do better in this if you just kind of listen and learn. And then if you want to get the CD, go back over it and sit down and learn. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you about 40 or 50 free subject matters in the Bible. And I'm going to take the whole Bible completely, and I'm going to show you how the Bible breaks down in about 7 or 8 different components of how you're going to put notes in. And this is not hard. This is very easy. And I'm going to show you the easiest way to reference your Bible. Now, I know on Thursday night you asked me questions about the Bible, and, you know, we talk about the fact that no question is dumb, no question is stupid, and, you know, I basically answer the questions that you give me. And, you know, that's somewhat deceiving because I think a lot of you think, or some of you think, that, you know, I know the Bible so well that I just remember, I have a memory where everything is at, and that's just simply not true. My goodness, I lose my car keys 3 or 4 times a day in trying to keep all the Bible verses in perspective. It ain't just going to happen. Well, what I've done is I rely on a system that I put together, and it's a biblical system that works. In fact, it's really how the Bible begins to lay itself out, and I bumped into this a number of years ago and then started focusing on it as far as the basis for which I put my reference Bible together. And in these subject matters, we're gonna range from things that are really easy to things that are really hard. But you're gonna see that even the hard things are really made easy as far as understanding where they're at if you just follow this basic system. And you know, putting all the Bible together for all them years and spending the time that I've spent it, I learned 2 great things about referencing your Bible and laying your Bible out. And I've talked about this to you before in some form or fashion, but never in a pointed way like we're going to do it tonight. And the first thing I found out about it over the years of things is that you always want to break things down in the Bible, all principles in the Bible, to the lowest possible common denominator. But what I mean is this. You can take a principle in the Bible and you can define it, but you may have different levels of definitions. And the key is to break it down to the lowest, what I call the lowest possible common denominator. Now, in grade school, that means that the thing won't divide itself anymore. You've got it down to the lowest common denominator. In a Bible sense, it means that there's no other explanation. This is the bedrock, easiest, basic understanding of this principle, verse, concept, or whatever. And I'm going to walk you through in the first part of this, and I'm going to show you how all this works and give you some of the lowest common denominators of some of the major things in the Bible. Now, for me, that's the easiest way for me to figure out the Bible. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that the Bible is not a very complex book. It's a very complex book. But the key to it in its complexity is its simplicity. And you can break it down in such a way, if you just follow this pattern, that even the very complicated aspects of it become easy to understand and easy to digest. And then the second thing I learned is that when you break everything down to the lowest possible common denominator, then I found that when you get down to the bottom line, that every concept, every principle in the Bible, every subject, every concept, every concept, every subject, every topic in the Bible will have what I call a definitive passage or a definitive verse. In other words, the way you break it down to its lowest common denominator is find the verse that defines what you're looking for. And that becomes the place you start. When you ask me a question about anything in the Bible, the first thing that comes to my mind, if I can remember it, will be the definitive verse for that. And that's the place that I work for. When you ask me about a book in the Bible, and I don't care what it is, whatever, when you ask me a question about a book in the Bible, the things that come to my mind will be the definitive concept of that book. The first thing I will think of, and you might have to train yourself to do this, but it's not hard. If you start following and putting the notes in the way I'm going to show you how to do it, it's not something that you really have to spend a lot of time working on to study it, because just by using your Bible in the natural routine of studying it, reading it, working with people, dealing with people, and answering people's questions about the Bible yourself, whether it's at work or the people you're bumping into, you're going to find that it's naturally going to take care of itself. And these things will become ingrained in your mind, not because you labor over them studying them, but by the simple reason of using them all the time, you become so familiar with them. They become second nature to you. And my method of referencing my Bible is built on the definitive verse method. And you'll notice that when I start coming through things in the Bible on Sunday morning or even on Thursday night, I will tell you, you know, this is a definitive verse for this. And some of you are already asking me in our times in the Word of God if this is a definitive passage, and that's good, because that's the way you got to start thinking. Now, here's what you got to do. In your Bible, you've got 7 or 8 ways that you're going to take notes or you're going to reference your Bible. The first thing is the Bible itself. You've got to get a baseline definition of the Bible. You've got to get the Bible and start with the Bible in its lowest common denominator form. You've got to, when you look at the Bible, think about the Bible or see the Bible, you've got to think of it in its lowest form. Then the next thing is you're going to have the Old Testament and the New Testament. When you think of the Old Testament and the New Testament in the context of the Bible, both of those have their own basic definition that says it all. And it's where you start. It is the basic concept truth of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And wherever else you hear about it, the rest of your life will go on top of that definitive verse, passage, or that definitive layout, how you do it. And then each book of the Bible has a definitive thing to it. And we talked about this Sunday when we came through the book of Matthew. And we'll talk about that more a little bit more. Then each chapter has a definitive concept to it. And you have to lay those out as you do it. And then you're going to find that there are passages within those chapters that are definitive passages. You may find 7 or 8 or 9 verses that absolutely define something. And we're going to talk about those. And I've got examples of all of these. And I'm going to show you. And I'm going to walk you through them. And I'm going to explain them in every detail as we go through them. In other words, when we're done with this, you're going to have all of these areas not only laid out for you, but you're going to have examples in your hand that you can look at that I made up here and printed off for you from my own Bible, where I took pages out and showed you how to do each one of these. And then after passages, you're going to have verses. There are verses sometime that are definitive verses. I've talked to you a lot about salient verses. Salient verses being verses that stand out and mean something, that stand by themselves. They project themselves right off the page. Barb and I were talking about it coming over here, about salient verses, and I told her, you know, like a great salient verse is, there's a number of them in Philippians, but "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus" is a salient verse. It's also a definitive verse. And, you know, we'll go through lots of that. And then, of course, there's topics. There's subjects. Subjects like the second coming of Christ. That's a subject, you see. And it's a subject that there's 5,000 verses in the Bible on the second coming of Christ. But there's one definitive place that you start. And then you run everything else to there. And we'll talk about how, and then, of course, there's words. The words themselves define things many times. So our job is going to be to define the Bible itself. Then we're going to define the books of the Bible. And we'll lay that out. And it will define chapters. Then we'll define passages. Then we'll define the verses. Then we'll define the words. And we'll see how the thing lays itself out. And, you know, it sounds complicated, but it's not really. I'll give you an example. When we're going to talk about, all right, give me an example of a book in the Bible that is the definitive book. Well, the easiest one that comes to mind to me would be the book of Job. The book of Job, in its lowest form common denominator, is a picture of the tribulation period from beginning to end. That is its definitive status. The book of Proverbs is wisdom. The book of Psalms is the millennium. And you find all of those things, those are the lowest bottom line coming out. Job may be a study of Job's life. He was a real man that lived. That's fine. But you haven't got it down far enough yet. You see, you take the practical side of it and you say, well, Job is a great picture of what a man suffers when he goes through on planet Earth. That's true. But that's not the lowest definition of it. We can get down lower. The lowest common definition of Job is Job is a picture of the tribulation period and what the Jew goes through. And when you can, and that's why I tell you all the time, that when you come to the place with the Bible that you're good enough to find the doctrinal application of the passages of the books or the places in the Bible that are the key places, if you can figure out the doctrinal application first, and that's really the easiest one. The other two applications are very easy once you figure out the doctrinal application. But you see, the doctrine application is the lowest common denominator of anything in your Bible. Why? Because the theme of your Bible will be the second coming of Christ. That is the bottom line of your Bible. The bottom line of your Bible is the second coming of Christ. Everything else means absolutely nothing without that point. That is the focus of your Bible. And without that focus, you lose the whole concept of the Bible. So that's my point. So you got guys up here that teach all kinds of things about the Bible. And they can lay out all kinds of things about the Bible, but till they get to the lowest common denominator of the Bible, to the definitive aspect of the Bible, they're not to the bottom line yet. And the bottom line yet, and you're going to see this in a minute when I bring you through it. When you get to the common line of the Bible, then you're at the baseline where all truth comes from. Somebody says, all right, give me an example of a chapter, a definitive chapter. A definitive chapter would be Revelation chapter 20. Because that whole chapter deals with the millennium. And where the whole book of Job deals with the tribulation, so its definition is the tribulation period in its lowest form. The book of Revelation chapter 20, the whole chapter deals with the millennium. So it is the definitive passage in your Bible on the millennium. That's where you go, a whole chapter. And then somebody says, well, give me an example of a passage. Well, a passage, for example, would be, well, let's just take Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 is a passage in there. Or we could take Genesis chapter 6 as the passage in there. And that passage teaches something. The whole chapter doesn't teach it, but there's a passage in there that teaches us. Chapter 3 about the devil, chapter 6 about the sons of God. So there is a passage that lays out, that defines something. And we're going to look at those examples as we come through. Somebody said, well, give me a definitive verse. All right. Definitive verse will be in John chapter 4. There's thousands of them, but I'll just give you the one in John chapter 4, which says that we that worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now that's a definitive verse. That is a verse that's in a passage, that's in a chapter, that's in a book of your Bible, that is in the whole Bible. There's one verse that defines something for you. The concept of worship. Now you could go back to Psalms and you'd find 500 places where it talks about worshiping God. You'd go back to the Old Testament and you'd find place and place and place and place and place where it talks about worshiping God. And you could go all kinds of places in the Bible and you could get everything in the world about worship in God, but until you get John chapter 4, I forget what verse it is, but until you get John 24, is it? 24. Till you get John chapter 4, verse 24, you don't have a definition of worship. A definition of worship is defined for you in that verse. And you'll never understand all the rest of the other places until you understand that one. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And then, of course, you got words. And words would be like that day or the day. We've talked about that before, how that lays itself out. You have topics in the Bible. An example of a topic in the Bible would be the Antichrist. That's a topic. There's 400 verses on the Antichrist, probably in the Bible, maybe more than that. But there's one place that defines him. And you know what? And that's how you do it. You find the definitive passages. So I want you to understand, in every aspect, the way we approach the Bible, and this is going to become easy, even if you just got saved, in a short time ago, this is going to help you a lot if you've been saved for a while and you get it into your Bible, because I'm going to give you a lot of free stuff here. And I'm going to define a lot of free stuff. And you're going to go out of here every week understanding major components about the Bible that's going to help you put it together. And that's why it's so vital that you find a system to put your own reference Bible together, and you realize that a reference Bible of your own is the only way to really learn the Scriptures. And then you understand that you put it together by starting at the lowest possible common denominator of the Word of God, where it starts, where it's defined, and then you bring everything else back to that point. You see, for me, if you ask me about, I hear all kinds of things. I went to a couple of churches here a while back, and they talked about having a worship service, and my preacher said, worship God with your tithes and your offerings, and I'm confused on it. What I would do, I'd go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is my definitive verse, and in John chapter 4, verse 24, I would have every verse I needed to teach you everything you ever wanted to know and didn't want to know about worship. Now, do I know all those verses in my head right now? Absolutely not. I'd like to tell you that I did. I'd like to really let you think I really know the Bible that well. I don't. I know one place. I know John chapter 4. That's all I got to remember. You know why? Because when I get to John chapter 4, I got everything I need right there. Why? It's my definitive passage on worship. And every subject in the Bible is just that easy. And what I'm going to do is I'm not only, when we get into this heart of this thing, I'm not going to give you the places. I'm going to give you all the reference verses that go with it. And then I'm going to show you how to do it, that you can work it on a weekly basis. By the time we're done, you know what? You'll have your Bible on its way being put together. Now, I've used this before over the years, and it's a great example, and I want to use it again and break it down. I've never used it in this format before. I'll break it down like I'm going to do it. But when you look at the Bible, you think of the Bible, and I've said this before, you think of the Bible as one of those 1,000-piece picture puzzles. You know, you go to Walmart someplace, and they got bins of them. And, you know, they're in boxes, you know, and they got 2,000 pieces in them. And, you know, people, you know, enjoy doing that, and you dump out all the pieces and it looked like a mess, you know, and yet you when you look at that, people who put puzzles together know that there's a system to doing that. And obviously the system is, as it's you first thing you do is you don't just jump in and start putting it together. What you do is you start separating the pieces. And that's what you begin to do with your Bible. The Bible is a picture book of what God is doing, and it's got 10 million pieces to it. Your job and my job is to put all those pieces together and getting the picture. After 34 years, I have probably about a quarter of that picture. And but you got enough to see and understand some things where you don't even know where the pieces go. But you begin to learn how the picture, you begin to see the picture emerging. What is the picture? What God's doing. What is the picture? What God is doing with man. What is the picture when you get this whole puzzle together? What is the picture in this puzzle? It shows you totally and completely what God is doing from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22 and on both sides of that. And when you walk away, when the picture's together, the puzzle's put together, you can see. But you know what? You don't have to have all the pictures of that 2,000-piece puzzle together before you know you got a picture of a farm landscape. Or you got a picture of a bridge, one of those old covered bridges. Or you got a picture of a nice seaside scene. You don't have to have all the pieces together that you start formulating what this picture must be, even though you don't have all the pieces. Now, I'm not saying that once you got the puzzle together, you said, ooh, wow, I thought it was a seaside, and it is. I thought it was birds flying in nice clouds, and it is. But there's a ship in that picture that I never imagined, that I didn't see that till I got all the pieces together. Bible's the same way. I start to see parts of the Bible, and I start to get an understanding of the picture. And I can sit down with you and basically tell you the story from what I can see in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, and print you about a quarter of a picture of what's out there. But you know what? A lot of boats out there that I don't have the pieces for yet. A lot of things out there that when you get the whole picture together, you're going to say, wow, I didn't know that in that picture. Wow, I didn't know that. Why, look at all those ships. Look at all those airplanes. Look at all this. Look at that shark eating guy off the boat out there. I mean, there's all kinds of things that I didn't see, you see. But as I stand right now, I know what I got here. I got a seaside picture, and I got some things I can see, but I don't have all the pieces, so I don't have all the details. But I got an idea what I'm looking at. That's what the Bible does. Now, the first thing you do is take all the flat pieces, separate them from all the pieces that's got all the little interlocking sides. And the first thing you do, you build the framework. You take all the flat pieces and you put them together first, because you only got to work with three sides, or two sides. And so you do that first. Now, when you build the framework of the Bible together, that would be defining the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the books of the Bible. The Bible itself, we're going to look at here in just a minute. The concept of the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're going to look at it here in a minute. And the individual 66 books of the Bible provide for you the framework of God's picture. When you understand how those three components work together in the lowest common denominator, you start to get the framework of this gigantic picture of what God is doing. All right? Then you have chapters, passages, verses, topics, and words. You know what those are? Those are all the little pieces that you build from the framework in, and that's the next thing you do. Once you get the framework in, and all the flat-sided pieces have been accounted for, then you start taking the pieces and match them up to the colors, match them up to maybe a part of an object, whether it be a boat or a lighthouse or something. And you know that this piece here is part of the lighthouse. It's the same color as the lighthouse, or it's a part of the window, so it's certainly not going to go in the middle of the ocean. It's not going to go in. You know now by association, and you start to manipulate those pieces, and that's when the pictures start to come together. My job is to help you break down the Bible, the Old Testament books, and the New Testament books, and then the Old Testament and New Testament itself, that you get a framework. That's why when we started coming through the books of the Bible, that's what, and I told you this when we started, that's what we were doing. We were beginning to put together the framework of the Bible. And then as we meet on Thursday night, as you study your Bible and we work together through things in the Bible, or I break down things even more, then you begin to see all the little pieces. And if you're paying attention and you're diligent with it and you're staying with it and you're actively trying to learn how the Bible goes together in time, you're going to put the pieces together and the picture is going to emerge. Now, when somebody asks me a question about the Bible, and I don't care how deep a question or how trivial a question, first thing I do in my mind is visualize it. I visualize your question in relationship to that picture. That's why it's important to get the picture together first, most of it, as much as you can. Because when you ask me a question about the Bible, in my mind, the first thing I do is visualize that question in relationship to that picture. Remember when we first started our church, I gave you that 8 or 9 page write-out of the whole Bible that's from Genesis to Revelation, and I've used that several times with several people one-on-one. The reason why I did that is because I don't know of any other little tool on the face of planet Earth that suggest what you ought to have in your brain when you think about the Bible. When you ask me a question about the Bible, that chart comes into my mind from beginning to end, and I line up where your question is on that chart in relationship to everything else, and then I answer your question. In other words, the Bible for me is more a visual thing than it is even finding a reference in the Bible to talk to you about it. Now, I do that because you have to get all the components together. But the Bible is more a mental thing than it ever is something that you look up and you try to put together by verses. You visualize the picture of the Bible in your brain and you get it in there that when you think about the Bible, you see it not as a black book, you see it as a picture of what God is doing. You get that down, your whole Bible becomes a lot simpler of defining it and laying it out and teaching somebody. When I teach you the Bible, I teach off a visual stimulant in my brain. I'm thinking the picture as I'm laying out the material, because the picture helps me associate with what I'm doing. And that's why in every one of these areas, you have to begin to define it from its baseline, its definitive concept. And then it starts to really begin to make sense for you. Now, I want to talk to you first about defining the Bible as a book. And everybody take one of these. What's this? Do these get these in bubblegum now? Jesuit cards? Pass it up for me. Oops, I'm sorry. Here, give me some. I'll give some to the other side over here. Now, take one of these because the first thing we're going to look at is the Bible itself. Now, this is a page out of the front of one of your wide margin Bibles that we sell back here. I figured most of you had these, so we could start with that. Be easy. This is just the beginning of the Bible. This is basically, if you look in your wide margin Bible, if you have one of our wide margin Bibles, you'll find this page. I'm not even sure what it is. Oh, it's a table of Yeah, well, you can white that out. Get a little more space out of it. But it's a table of the different abbreviations and symbols that they use in the Bible here. And on my Bible, and I want to talk to you here about this. The first thing I want to do is I want to show you how to take the most complicated book the world has ever seen. A book that scholarship says takes you at least 3 years of Bible college, 3 more years of seminary, and then 4 or 5 years of post-seminary graduate work, learning Greek and Hebrew. When you're all done, you have about 15 years invested in this book and still don't understand it. I'm going to show you how to pick it out in about 22 minutes tonight, and then you can pick up your PhD on your way out if you want. Because I'm going to show you how to take the most complex book the world has ever seen and show you how it is the easiest book, because God just gave it to you in a very easy fashion, because we're going to break the Bible down to the lowest common denominator. Now, when you look at the Bible, when you think about the Bible, here's the lowest common denominator of the Bible. Now, this is just not going to be one sentence. It's going to be a things here, but we'll come back and boil it down to one thing here. The Bible is simply a record of what God has done, what God is doing now, and what He will do in the future to establish two kingdoms. That's all it is. Now, you can go into the theology of it all you want. You can spend the next 40 years laying out all the deep theological things. And you know what? When you're all said and done, the lowest common denominator of your Bible is simply a Bible is a record of what God is doing in three tenses, past, present, and future, to establish two kingdoms. One of those kingdoms is for the nation of Israel, the kingdom of heaven. The other one is for the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. Now, let me show you how this thing works. If you would take a course on world history, you'd enter into one of the greatest prolonged studies and one of the most entailed studies that boggles the greatest minds in the world. There is so much material to study the history of the nations and the history of the world. I mean to tell you, it is a lifelong pursuit that would probably take you 3 or 4 lifetimes to get it all out. I mean, the history of Europe itself, you could spend a lifetime detailing it all out. And you know what? But here again, the world and the educated class always majors on the minors and they miss the real issues of things. Because the important thing in this world has nothing to do with European history, Spanish history, French history, English history. None of those things have anything to do with anything of any relevance. Because once you see that the Bible, in its lowest form of common denominator, then you know what you do? Because the Bible is a record of history. It isn't a record of man's history, it's a record of God's history. Forget man. I don't care what man is doing. What we need to focus on to be Bible believers is what God is doing. Because if you focus on what man is doing, you never get to the lowest common denominator. When you figure out what God is doing and the Bible is a record of what God is doing, suddenly get to the lowest common denominator and everything then fits on top. Let me show you what I mean. Proverbs chapter 22 and Proverbs chapter 23, it talks about landmarks. It talks about not removing the old landmarks or the ancient landmarks. And you'll find that in our study through the history of the Bible, in its basic relative form, you'll find that one landmark in Proverbs 22 for the nation of Israel. There's one landmark in Proverbs chapter 23 for the church. And you can break down all history. All history. Everything in the Bible. Everything in the Bible. All history of the world is nothing more than God moving to establish those two kingdoms. Sometimes He's doing one and not the other. Sometimes He's doing both. Sometimes He's doing the other and not the other. But all history of the world, every event in the world will bang up against one or the other, either the nation of Israel and what God's doing or the church and what God's doing. All history, all world history will come back to the lowest common denominator that the Bible is a record of what God has done, what He's doing now, and what He will do. Every event on planet Earth and every nation on the face of this planet, from the Hundred Years' War to the Spanish Inquisition to World War I to World War II to Vietnam and Korea will bang up against one of those two concepts, because it all comes back to the definitive aspect of the Bible. Not only that, but every other subject in the Bible, every other book in the Bible, every other subject in the Bible, everything else throughout the whole Bible will come up against either God dealing with the nation of Israel or God dealing with the church. Everything in the Bible and everything in the world comes back to that basic, definitive, lowest, bottom line common denominator of what the Bible is. The Bible is nothing more than God, a record of what God has done and what He is doing now and what He will do to establish two kingdoms. That's it. That's it. And everything else in history of the world and everything else in all of the Bible will land on one or the other of those issues. Either the nation of Israel, the body of Christ. One or the other. All history will break down pointing toward the body of Christ or the nation of Israel. In the Old Testament, it all goes toward the nation of Israel. In the New Testament, it all goes toward the body of Christ. And it's one of those things where it's just as simple as that. Now, from Genesis to 2 Chronicles, it deals with God. And here's how simple it is. From Genesis to 2 Chronicles, the Bible deals with God establishing His nation Israel and getting them into the land. All right? From Genesis, that's the beginning of your Bible, to 2 Chronicles, it deals with God establishing His nation Israel and God doing everything around the world to get them into that land. You know what the Bible is from 2 Chronicles to the end of the Bible? In its lowest bottom line common denominator, it's God dealing with every nation on the planet Earth to get them back into the land and establish the kingdom. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. History is nothing more than from Genesis to 2 Chronicles, God doing everything that He's doing. And you can say, well, what about the Egyptian? What about the Assyrians? What about this? What about that? What about all those ancient empires out there? They exist for one purpose. They come right back on this basic concept of what God has done, what He is doing, or what He shall do to establish His kingdom. And all of that stuff comes right back to Genesis to 2 Chronicles. Is nothing more than God doing all He's doing, rising Gentile nations, bringing down Gentile nations, changing Gentile nations. Why? Because God cares about the history of the world? No, because God wants to get His people into that land. And then you know what happens in 2 Chronicles. They get kicked out. From the 2 Chronicles to the end of the Bible, it's God establishing everything He's doing with nations, no matter who they may be, to get them back in that land, which He did in 1948. And then Matthew, that's the Old Testament. Then Matthew from Revelation deals with the establishment of the church, the spiritual body of Christ, to help the Jew get back in the land. And it's just as simple as that. That's all that it is. And you need to know the Bible in that simple term. Now, what I've done here is I've given you an example of the Bible and what I got in it. And this is just at the beginning of my Bible, right here, that you've got. These are the notes that I got. This is your model. I'm not saying you got to do it this way. But when I open up my Bible, if somebody says to me, you know what? The Bible's a really complicated book. Man, I don't know how I can ever learn the Bible. You know what I do? I bring them, open up my Bible right here, if I don't have it memorized. Now, after 34 years of doing it 1,000 times a week, you fully understand and lay out how in the world this thing goes. So what you do is you have it memorized. Now, I could do it backwards in the dark in the middle of the night. You could call me up and wake me out of a dead sleep, and I could lay it out for you. Because I've been there so many times, and you will get there too. But you know where it starts? It starts breaking it down that it's so simple. It starts breaking it down that it is absolutely the easiest, lowest common denominator, and an understanding that whatever I learn the rest of my life about God and the Bible is going to go one or two places, either the nation of Israel or the body of Christ. Simple as that. Simple as that. See how simple I just made it? Your whole Bible cuts right down the middle. Half of it goes to the nation of Israel, the other half goes to the body of Christ. And it's so simple when you understand that the Bible in its lowest common denominator is simply a record of what God has done, what He's doing right now, and what He's going to do, because God's got an agenda. He's going to establish those kingdoms. Now that's what I've got here. At the top of this, very top of the page, and you'll have to excuse the spelling on this, some of this stuff, but you just get it all the way it is. That's all there is to it. Yeah, there you go. Across the top, my first heading is this. And I make things simple because I want to catch it as a glance. And if I'm teaching one of these days, some of you are going to very quickly, you're going to start be teaching somebody the Bible. And I know you're going to start to disciple them. And I know you're going to start to go through the lessons. But you know what? You're going to start the lessons and they're going to say, you know what? Can we put the lesson aside tonight? I got a question I need to ask you about the Bible. You're going to get into it. You are going to get into it. You're going to have the best intentions. You're going to have your lesson down. And you're going to be ripe, ready to go. And they're going to say, you know what? I need your help somewhere else. You're going to have to do it. And that's why don't go into a panic. Just start doing what I'm telling you to do about definitive passages and definitive verses. And when somebody asks you, I mean, what more scary question could somebody ask some new Christian in here than, can you lay out the whole Bible for me in 20 seconds or less? Doesn't that frighten you a little bit? How about if I called you up next week and say, you know what? I was going to lay out the whole Bible tonight just so everybody have an understanding of it, but I don't feel too good. Can you do that for me? Well, would you panic? Why? You see, this thing looks simple. And it is simple. But you know what? Here's my point. You put it in simple right now. And you learn the basic common denominator of it right now. And then 5 years from now, all the other stuff you learn about it, you build on this. And at some point in your life, you could go 150 hours on this little outline right here. You could take this little outline right now, and you could just take this thing now, and if what you know about the Bible, you could, it's all it is a basic form. Because once you lay out the basic concept of what God has done, what God is doing, and what God's going to do, you got the whole Bible right there. So if you know anything, all the rest of your life, you're going to spend learning three things: what God has done, what God is doing, what God. Remember New Year's Eve? Yep. Now you thought New Year's Eve was really hot. You know what New Year's Eve was? New Year's Eve was taking one subject, the nation of Israel, one passage, and then going back and simply showing you what God had done, what he's doing now, and what he's going to do. Same format. Because that's all the Bible is. Bible's not any more complicated than that. So across the top of this page in my Bible, and I'm not saying run home tonight and do this. I'm giving you this, so you need to at least wait till we get through the whole thing, and then you can go back and decide how you're going to do it. But I want you to have these examples that you can see how I did it. You don't have to do it this way, but you need to get it in your Bible someplace. That don't try to put it in a notebook, because by the time you get 20 years into this, you're going to have 100. You're going to have to hire 4 Mexicans to carry your notebooks around. Don't put them in notebooks. Put them in your Bible. Build your reference Bible, and the first thing that ought to hit you when you open up your Bible is what the Bible is in its lowest common denominator. Here it is. Bible records of what God has done, is doing, and what he will do to establish his kingdom. Bible, nothing more than God doing two things: setting up Israel, setting up the church. All history and every other issue and subject in the Bible will go to one or the other. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28 goes to Israel. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 10 goes to the church. Give you two landmarks to follow through history. A, Genesis to 2 Chronicles deals with God calling out of Israel, God getting him into the land. B, 2 Chronicles to Revelation deals with God getting them back into the land after their rejection. C, Matthew to Revelation deals with the church as Christ's replacement to get the Jew back. Then down at the bottom, D, Bible is the setting up of two kingdoms, the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of God. And all history, Old Testament and New Testament, is simply God moving to put those kingdoms in place at the second coming of Christ. That's the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. If you can just put that in your Bible, the next time somebody asks you about the Bible, that's where you go. And after you go there 10 or 20 times, you'll know it by heart. You won't even have to turn to it anymore. You'll know it. You know why? Because when somebody... When somebody asks you about it, you'll visualize this. This is what you got to get. You see this here? It will help you, but it won't do the job for you. You got to visualize this. You got to see it. When you hear the word Bible, this has got to pop into your mind. You got to see this exactly in its most simple form. And then the rest of your life, everything I teach you, everything you get on your own, everything you get from the Bible, you're going to build on that basic, fundamental, definitive definition of the Bible. That's where I start. Now, you know what I've done after 34 years of being in the Bible? I've taken every one of those little concepts and make a mega concept out of it, and I build on it. And now I can take 20 hours on each one of those and wear your ears out and bore you to death. I can run you through history. I can run you through nations. I can run you through wars. I can run you through books of the Bible. I can run you through kings, queens, because everything in history, European history, ancient history, wherever history you go, is simply around one of two things in the Bible. It's either about the nation of Israel and God establishing that kingdom, or the church and God establishing that kingdom. And those two kingdoms are nothing more than what God's doing to bring in the second coming of Christ, because that's the theme of the Bible. So getting the Bible down to the lowest possible common denominator is simply this. And then you build on this the rest of your life, but you learn this. This is the basics. You got to get this down first. Get it in your Bible someplace. Put it in there like this, something like this. Read it. Put it in your own words. Make it easy. When I lay it out that something like this, I lay it out in a little outline form, breaking those things down, because in my little peanut brain, when I see that, I know that I can teach on A, B, C, or D and lay more material out. I don't have it here because when I wrote those things in there, I was dumb as a stump. Now I'm just dumb as a half a stump, but I can answer those things better now. But back then, you see, there was no need, because I probably at least 30,000 times in my life in 34 years, I've taught that little outline. And then I've added to it. And everything I've learned about my Bible, I put on that little outline. And now that little outline is a little outline here, but in here is all over the place. And you'll learn it that way. You learn the Bible more by using it than you ever do by studying it. But obviously you have to study it. But studying it without using it will never work. And that's why we're into this thing about getting you key people into learning how to teach the Bible. And I know it's about discipleship, but that's a misnomer. You're being deceived here. Because it isn't just about discipleship, because once you start teaching somebody the basic discipleship lesson, you're going to find yourself in a whole concept about people wanting to know things about the Bible. And that's why you've got to learn how to definitively put these things down. By the time I'm done with you in this, I promise you. You see, there's already a ratio factor involved here. You people have been working with me now for almost 2 years. And let's say we have somebody that I give you the disciple that just got saved. Well, unless they're a very unique person, they're not going to know much about the Bible at all. And your 2 years, you're going to look like, to them, you're going to look like the Bible man, answer man. You're gonna have much more information, and yet you're sitting here tonight thinking, well, I don't know as much as the person sitting next to me. That may be true, but there's always a factor of ratio here. What you do know is more than some unsaved person. I would say that probably, for the most part, that almost everybody in here that's been with me for the last 2 years could take on an unsaved man, not take on in a confrontational way, but in a discussional way, you could handle yourself on just about most subjects in the Bible. Maybe you couldn't go deep with them. Maybe you wouldn't know all the verses, but you would be able to, because of what you've heard me say, what you've heard me teach, and what you've done on your own, you now have an idea of how things fit. So you can intelligently speak to someone about those things. Well, that even broadens more when you start working with people in the Bible, because the real issues and the real questions are going to come up, and you always want to keep it in its simplest form. And when I'm done with you through this, you will have enough material. And like I said, it doesn't matter if you just got saved last week or you've been saved for a year and a half. Through this, you will get 40 or 50 freebies, where you're going to get 50 passages, verses, concepts, topics, laid out books, laid out for you that that it took me 30 years to get. And now you'll have them in their lowest bottom line. And I will, when I'm done, I'm going to show you how to catalog them in your Bible, that when somebody asks a question, all you got to do is run to that catalog, find one verse, turn to it, and you've got everything you need. And I'll show you how to do that. You'll work off the definitive, the lowest bottom common denominator. That's what you do. And somewhere in your Bible, you need to put this. And you need it, not tonight, but at some point, this is where you need to start. We're going to start with a big Bible and work our way down. At some point, you need to put this in your Bible at your own fingertips. Now, let me just say a word about this, and I'm just telling you about all the mistakes that I made. The longer you get, if you stick with this thing, and the longer you get in the Bible, and the more you get with the Lord, and the more you study your Bible, the more you want it, the more you're going to realize how you got to start out taking smart notes. One of the dumbest things I ever did, and I was just like everybody else, you know. And I never forget my first wide margin Bible. My wife bought it for me for my birthday, and we've retired it now. It's in the Hall of Fame at our house, but I carried that Bible till 2 years ago. So over 30-some years. And I had it rebound two or three times. Pages were getting so thin on it, and the notes would. And I used to kick myself 15 years ago. 20 years ago, I used to kick myself because now I'm really learning the Bible. I've got so much I want to get in here. And I turn over to Genesis chapter 2. And here on chapter 2, I have taken up that much space in my Bible by just simply writing in Adam and Eve. Now, you see, back then, that was a big note for me. But it ain't much at this point in my life. But I need the space, you see. Then not only did I found another great truth. Not only did God inspire the King James Bible, and not only did he preserve it supernaturally, but God also made whiteout. Whiteout is of God. But then there's an imitation whiteout that the devil makes that got bumps in it that doesn't make flat that you can't write on. So you got to make sure you get God's whiteout, not the devil's whiteout. Anyway, what I'm saying is this. You don't want to put dumb notes in your Bible. And I'll tell you something else. Boy, do not use. I made every mistake you can make. Do not use a ballpoint pen. It will bleed through, and you will be able to read your notes both sides of the pages. Get yourself, and you can go to Hobby Lobby, and they got these little rapidograph pens that are, you want to get a 005. They're Indian ink. They won't bleed through. They dry instantaneously. They won't smear. If you spill your beer on it one night when you're studying it, it won't run. And they're only $1.30 a piece. In fact, we just stopped and bought one way over here because I was doing my Bible today, and I bumped mine off, and it's got a real thin point. You see how thin it is? And it just dropped right on the floor, straight down. Great for writing around corners now, but it will not. And you'll go through these. You buy a couple of them because you'll go through them. You know, you'll get excited about something. You say, "Oh God, that was great!" And you'll stick it in your hand or something. You know. But anyway, I'm just telling you right up front, and you gotta get one of those before you start putting your notes in. You put it in ballpoint pen. It'll fade. It'll bleed. And it'll make all kinds of messes in your Bible. And if you have a wide margin Bible, that's probably the best wide margin Bible in the world today, simply from the paper. And nobody makes them anymore because, you know what? Nobody wants to do their own Bible anymore. They go out and buy Jimmy Swaggart's or Chris Wells or somebody else's. So, but someplace in your Bible, you need to start with the Bible itself. And when you put the Bible itself in there, then you begin to lay down in its lowest common denominator form. what that Bible is. And then you're going to build on that. Everything else you're going to do, everything you're going to hear me say, everything you're going to see on TV about history or whatever, everything you're going to read, everything you're going to get into the rest of your life is going to come back and bang up against one or the other, either the nation of Israel or the body of Christ, because you now have the lowest common denominator on the Bible. All right, now the next one, let's define the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I don't have a handout for this, but there's really no need for one because it's pretty easy. Now I gave you, when we looked at the Bible, I gave you a definitive, overall, bottom line, lowest common denominator definition of the Bible. Now we're going to break the Bible into two parts. And we're going to get a little more specific, but we're going to stay just as basic. In other words, this is not going to get complicated. This one's real easy too. But we're now talking about two segments of one Bible, where the last one we were talking about the overall whole book of the Bible itself. Now we're talking about splitting the Bible in half, so to speak. And we're going to look at the Old Testament, and we're going to look at the New Testament. Now, when we looked at the whole Bible, I gave you an overview of it all. Now, notice we're starting to get more focused on things because now we're going to take two components of it. And we're going to look at the Old Testament first. Now, the Old Testament, we've already talked about how that the Old Testament records God getting the nation of Israel into the land. And very basically, we find four aspects of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. We find Genesis to Exodus, where God calls them out. This would be called simply the calling out of the nation of Israel. From Exodus to Joshua, you have the formulation of the nation of Israel. I'm going to give them to you, and then go back and explain them basically. From First Samuel to Second Chronicles, we have the establishment of the nation of Israel. And then from Second Chronicles to the end of your Old Testament, we have the rejection of the nation of Israel. Now there we've taken it and we've broken it down in its basic form. But it's more detailed than the overall concept of the Bible because now we've taken a component of the Bible. But it's just as simple. Now you see what we're doing? Now what we're doing is we've taken the overall thing. Remember I told you that the rest of your life you'll build on that basic concept of the Bible, all right? I've just given you an Old Testament breakdown, and you just take that and build it right onto what I gave you last time about the Bible itself. When I've told you that the Old Testament is this, okay? You add that to that. Go ahead, Steve. Okay. All right. The Old Testament's going to record from Genesis to Exodus the calling out of Israel. And this is what you find. You'll find that God starts in Genesis. He gets Adam and Eve, and he brings it on down. He brings it up to Abraham. And with Abraham, he calls out Abraham, you know, from Isaac, Jacob, right on down the line. They wind up through Joseph down in Egypt. End of Genesis. And then what does he do? He calls Abraham, Genesis chapter 15, out of Ur of Chaldees. And then in Exodus, he calls the whole nation out of Egypt. And off they go. You know what you got through really the end of the book of Exodus to Joshua? You got the formulation. God brings them out and he forms them up during those books. He forms them by giving them the law. They didn't have the law before this. They get Moses. What's Moses do? He gets the law. What's the law do? It forms them into a nation. It gives them a formulation structure. It gives them a religious structure. It forms into the beginning of a political structure. And then what happens after you get into the book of Joshua? They go into the land. When they go into the land, we find the judges, and we find them being formulated. But when we get into 1 Samuel, we find where they get their first king. And from Samuel to 2 Chronicles is the history of the king. You know why they got king? Because now the nation of Israel is in the land. and they have been established as the nation. And then when you get to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, they reject. Nebuchadnezzar comes down. Sennacherib comes down. We talked about it. Times that the Gentiles come in, and you find the rejection. Now that's the Old Testament. The Old Testament is just that simple. That is the bottom line definition. You say, well, you didn't say anything about the Egyptians. You didn't say anything about Pharaoh. You didn't say anything about the Assyrians. You know why? Because they don't matter. They don't matter. They have absolutely nothing to do with what God is doing. This is what the bottom line of what God is doing. The definitive thing has nothing to do with Egypt or Assyria or Moab or anybody. The definitive common line of what, remember now, what God is doing. You break down the Old Testament, he's calling them out, he's forming them up, he's establishing them, they reject, and that's what you got. Now the New Testament, at its lowest common denominator. The New Testament breaks down into three aspects. Matthew to Acts, Romans to Philemon, Hebrews to Revelation. Now this is how simple it is. You see, when you ask me a question about the Old Testament, say you ask me a question in the book of Judges. You know what I think of? When I think of the verse, when you ask me a question in the book of Judges, the thing that pops in my mind is the formulation of the nation of Israel. That's the picture I get. My big overall picture comes down to a couple of pieces, and I see that. You ask me a question in Genesis, I think of the beginning, where it starts. You ask me a question about in Samuel, I know that I'm dealing with the established kingdom. You ask me a question after 2 Chronicles, I know I'm dealing in one of the prophets that deals with the rejection. And that's the first thing I think of. Why? Because my mind goes to the definitive of the Old Testament. I go to the lowest common denominator that defines what the Old Testament is in one of four areas. Now, New Testament. It's even simpler. Matthew to Acts deals with the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's as simple as that. That's all that it is. It's a transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Now you can put from the Jew to the Gentile, from you know the nation of Israel, the body of Christ. Great. It's all those things too. But in its simplest form, it is a transition coming from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Then you have you got your Bible from Romans to Philemon. Romans to Philemon contains the New Testament doctrine for the church. In other words, books bring you into the church age, books establish you into the church age, and then there's some books that bring you out of the church age. And that would be Hebrews to Revelation, where Matthew to Acts translates you from the Old Testament into the New Testament, where Romans to Philemon breaks down the New Testament church doctrine, then your books Hebrews to Revelation translates you out of the church age and into the tribulation. It's as simple as that. Now, that's why when you ask me a question in Matthew, I know that I'm not going to give you a definitive thing on church doctrine. That's why when you ask me something in Romans, I know I'm not going to give you something on prophecy. And that's why when you ask me a reference of something in Hebrews, the first thing that comes in my mind that I'm in a book here that has nothing to do with the church. I'm in a book directly. I'm in a book here that is written to Hebrews, and it's talking about somebody transitioning out. Now, someplace in your Bible, you need to put that. You know where I put it? In your wide margin Bible between the Testaments. You got a couple of blank pieces of paper. Or at least you got one that says the New Testament of Jesus Christ and it's got enough space around it. I'd put it there. And when somebody wants to talk to me about the New Testament or the Old Testament, that's where I go. The rest of your life, you will build upon that basic definition. Now, you know what else? I'll tell you. Because here's what you get. In a little while here, we're going to start talking about the individual books of the Bible. And when you get into the, I'm just going to take, for instance, you get in the New Testament, Romans to Philemon. Now, let's just take that. And I'll show you what we got here. Now, that's the basic little format right there. I'm giving you that right now. As you grow down the line, you're going to expand your on this little deal. I told you, everything will come back to the basic. You'll build on this the rest of your life, just like you'll build on the Bible the rest of your life. So at some point in your life, when you start studying the New Testament books of the Bible, you're going to find that Romans to Philemon are doctrine to the church. Then you're going to find within that those books, there's two sources of books. There's books that are written to churches, and there's books that are written to New Testament Christians. So now you're going to find that the books that are written to churches contain doctrine on the church, how to operate, and the books written to the Christians are going to teach them how to live the victorious Christian life as a Christian, giving them principles on the victorious Christian life that's different from the books written to the church. But you see, you don't need to know that now. All you need to know is that basic outline. And when I wrote that in my Bible 25 years ago, that's all I knew. Now I know a lot more. Now when somebody asked me a question and I would flip back to that and I would just see Romans to Philemon, my mind starts to paint a picture of each one of those books. You know why? Because I learned that there's a systematic way of learning that Bible, and I've already laid out the system. It deals with the Bible itself, the Old Testament, the New Testament, then it deals with the books, then it deals with passages, and when you bring it down systematically, simply laying out its basic concept and the lowest common denominator, you just build on what you already know. And in time, you have a reservoir of understanding and knowledge about basic, lowest common denominator, definitive things. And they all build on one thing. They all go back to one thing. They all follow the chain back just like I laid them out. It goes from the words to the verses, to the passages, to the chapters, to the books, to the Old Testament, to the New Testament, to the Bible. And in every one, it's the easiest thing in the world once you just begin to catalog the basic fundamental issues you're dealing with. And when you do that, then you're right on the money with it. And you have everything that you need. So you have the Old Testament records one thing, the New Testament records something else. And that's basically what the Old Testament and the New Testament is. And you put that someplace in your Bible. You put it wherever you want. I know people that, you know, in your front of your Bible, the back of your Bible, you got a lot of line pages, especially in the wide margin Bibles that you get. And you can go back there and you can block them off and put them in there where you can find them however you want them. There's all kinds of ways you can do it. I'm saying you got to get it down somewhere. Don't try to memorize it. You never want to memorize the basic things. You always want to know where they're at. You always want to be able to turn to that because in time, you're going to build a lot more information on those, and you've got to know in your mind, in your Bible, where they're at. It's not something that you just want to say, well, I'll remember it, because no, you won't. You got to write the definitions down. That is a cardinal rule. Write the definitions down, and then the rest of your life, you can build on those definitions. And in time, those definitions will become second nature. Well, we got time to do one more here. Let's start with the books of the Bible, and I'll give you, pass this one out here for you. There you go. Give those back there to Alan. Pass those out here. Now we're going to look at the books themselves. Pardon me?
Is this one of the pages that bother your Bible?
Huh? Now, sooner or later, you're going to have to break down every book of your Bible. Now, I told you this when we started, and I don't know how many of you have been doing it, but if you have been noticing, once we started coming through the Bible book by verse, every Sunday I have given you a breakdown, a basic breakdown of each book every week. I tell you that every Sunday. And I do that on purpose because I told you when we started, you know, if you didn't get anything else down, you need to get those down. Very frankly, and I don't know if you did it or not, but that is something that you could have done every week. And you could have said, okay, I'm going to have a goal that every week I'm going to write down the basic outline of that Bible and put it in a notebook or, in some cases, put it in your Bible. I'm going to show you how it should go here in just a second. But some of you should be well in your way of having the Old Testament done. And so I told you when we started that each book of the Bible, you know, will have a theme unto itself. It'll have an historical application, a doctrinal application, and a practical or an inspirational application. And you simply want to get at the beginning of each book of the Bible a basic, fundamental, definitive definition of what that book is. Some of them break down chapter by chapter. Some of them break down in an entire book. And if you have been paying attention coming through the Old Testament, I showed you how I broke it down. Obviously, Job breaks down in one entire section as a type of the tribulation period. Obviously, when we went through Genesis, I broke it down by stories. And then there's other places in the Bible where it'll break down, you know, chapter by chapter. And, you know, it's one of those things. And, of course, Genesis deals with the book of the beginning. So I showed you how that everything started in the book of Genesis. And then I gave you examples of that. And, of course, the book of Leviticus, we talked about being the order of the priesthood. And I remember dividing Leviticus right down the middle for you, showing that the first 10 chapters teach one thing. Second, the rest of the book teaches something else. Those kind of outlines should be in the front of your Bible at this point. Or in your notebook someplace. Because at some point, you're going to have to do that. Now, we've already stated, you know, that we knew that that years down the line someplace, you know, new people would come into our church and get saved and whatever, and they'd say, hey, I want to really learn the Bible. How do I do that? Well, we've been done now with each book of the Bible for 5 years, and we're well into something else. So you give them that material, and you allow them, we have an ongoing record of somebody being able to study, lay out, and get the material that on their own they can go through each book of the Bible. Because I'm just telling you, all I did when I taught that, honest to goodness, all I did was take the notes out of my Bible and give them to you. Now, I spiced things up here or there. If I saw a principle that I needed to teach on, or, you know, or something I needed to lay out, then I did that. But honestly, all I basically did was take the outline that is in my Bible and give you. And somebody could sit down with those tapes and just simply start listening to those things and just stop me, and write those things down when I give you this point, when I give you that point, and then break it down, put the divisions, run it back, and lay that thing out. And when you're done, you have that book of the Bible laid out. Now, the example that I'm going to give you here now is the of Romans. And Romans is a great book to do this with, because Romans one that breaks down chapter by chapter. Now, I have this outline at the top of my wide margin Bible on the page of Romans just like this. And I have across the top, outline of the book of Romans is a doctrinal study to the church showing change in teaching and doctrine in all areas of the body of Christ. That's the basic definition of the book of Romans. The book of Romans is the doctrinal instruction book to the church. Notice it shows up after Acts, and it is the first book in your Bible after the church becomes fully established and operational. Why? Because the first thing he wanted to do is give instructions to the body of Christ. Every chapter has a theme. And not only do I put this at the beginning of the book of Romans, because if somebody's going to ask me about the book of Romans, when I want to go to it, I'll tell you a story. One time I I was going to preach someplace, and somebody asked me if I could. I was going to preach Sunday morning and Sunday night, and they had a little like a little Bible institute there, and somebody asked me, "Would you mind, you know, coming in and teaching my class for me tomorrow?" Well, off the cuff. I mean, I wasn't prepared to do it, wasn't planning on doing it. And I said, well, sure. I said, is there any particular thing you want me to do? Or you just want me to get up and, you know, pick something out? And he said, well, he says, if you could, he says, we were going to study the book of Romans this week. And he said, I thought maybe that you could take that class and teach the book of Romans. Okay. Well, when I got up that next morning, morning to do it, all I did was say, okay, turn your Bible to Romans. Let me lay out the book of Romans for you and let me help you. Because the book of Romans really looks like it's a tough book. But you know what? The book of Romans is like any other book of the Bible. When you break it down, it really becomes easy and understandable. And then first thing I did is explain where the book of Romans fits into the canon of scriptures. Why Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Acts fit in. Why Romans is where it's at. I even talked a little bit about the churches, writing to the churches, and also the writing to the individuals. And I set the scene to show them that the book of Romans was the first doctrinal book in the Bible that laid down the handbook of what was changing from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And then you know what I did? Now, I took 20 minutes to do that. And I'm looking at my watch here, and I'm feeling pretty good right now because I haven't even started anything yet, and I've given them more than they probably had in the last 6 months, and I'm on my way home here. I'm 20 minutes into an hour class, and I'm cooking. So then I went through chapter by chapter, and I told them how every chapter lays out. I basically just read what I'm giving you right here. And I just started, I say, you know what? Part of the problem in learning your Bible is not knowing what to look for when you read it. And I say, I deal with people all the time, and one of the things that people ask me all the time, they say, well, you know what? I start to read the Bible and I just lose interest in it. And reading the Bible for a new Christian on their own is good, and I encourage that, but you can't just exist on that. Because as a young Christian, you don't know what to look for. You don't know what the Bible's all about. That's one of the things discipleship does. Discipleship teaches you the basic fundamentals, but that you're going to build on the rest of your life when it comes to the Bible. And it opens the door, so to speak, of being able to understand what you're looking for when you're reading. But I told him, I said, you know, when it comes to the book of Romans looks complicated. The book of Romans sounds complicated. There's a lot of passages that Paul writes in there that he sounds like a Philadelphia lawyer writing out a legal document. But I said the real key to the book of Romans is just understanding how each chapter breaks down. I looked at my watch. Now I only got 10 minutes left and I got 16 chapters. And I'm really doing good. And they're really excited. But I'm saying, but I'll have to do that next year when I come back because we're out of time now. No. And then I went through chapter by chapter. And all I did was take the outline that I had at the beginning of Romans and taught the book of Romans. And yet, I could do that with every book of the Bible because in front of every book of my Bible is a similar outline of how that book lays down. Now, do I remember all the stuff of the book of Romans? You've got to be kidding me. Could I sit here and somebody say to me, could you lay out, you know, this book or that book? Well, some of them maybe I could. But most of them I couldn't by verbatim. I may be able to tell you, but I don't have to. All I got to do is go to the beginning of every book in my Bible, and I have the outline that I could wear your ears out. And after years of adding material to it, you get me more familiar with it, you got a basic outline that you could step into any time. You see, my point is this. Once you get the basic outline of the Bible down, when people start to ask you questions, you turn to that first part of your Bible and you can lay out the basic defining things of the Bible. And everybody goes, wow. Somebody starts asking you about the Old Testament and the New Testament, you turn to that place in your Bible and you lay that out for them and they go, wow. And then it gets more structured and they said, well, you know what? I really always wanted to study the book of Romans or the book of Matthew. I really wanted to study how this book laid out. And you know what you do? You simply take the outline you have and show them. Add a few things to it, and they've got all that they need. Sunday was a great example on the book of Matthew. Matthew, I broke it down for you by telling you what the book deals with, and then I walked you through chapter by chapter. And the greatest thing I gave you was to show you that everything leads up to chapter 10 and 11. Everything goes down from after chapter 11 and puts it on both sides. And you put that in your Bible. You break down the chapters the way I gave them to you, telling you each one what it represents Christ as. You know what? You got the book of Matthew. The material in it will come later as you learn it, but you now know what you're looking for. The next time you get into reading Matthew and you get to Matthew chapter 13, you won't be scratching your head saying, well, I wonder what these parables are all about. You'll know. Because there's an outline there that tells you. And when you get to Romans chapter 2 and you start reading through all this stuff, you won't say, well, I wonder what I'm supposed to be getting out of this. You'll know what the chapter is about. And in the front of my Bible, I talk about Romans chapter 1 talks about the mind of the Gentiles. I'm going to give them all of them. We're going to come back and talk about them. Romans chapter 2 talks about the mind of the Jew. Romans chapter 3 talks about the law and how the Jew follows the law. The Gentile follows his conscience. And chapter 4 and chapter 5 talks about those things aren't any good anymore, that only getting the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ is going to solve the problem man has. Then you get into chapter 6, and it talks about Christ's death on the cross. It defines it, how it affects a Christian. Chapter 7 talks about now that Christ died on the cross, how that you're dead to the law. Chapter 8 talks about now that Christ died on the cross, it talks about the future redemption of your body. Chapter 9, 10, and 11 talk about my relationship and understanding how God is going to deal with the Jew and how he's going to lay all that out and how he's going to restore him. Chapter 12 talks about my relationship to other people. Chapter 13 talks about my relationship to my government. Chapter 14 talks about my relationship with other Christians. Chapter 15 talks about what my job is as a New Testament Christian. And chapter 16, he says goodbye to everybody. It's just as simple as that. But you understand that what Paul's doing in Romans is he's showing you how now the New Testament church is going to be structured. And the first thing he teaches you is in chapter 1. He shows you the mindset of how a Gentile thinks. Because a Gentile thinks differently than a Jew. In chapter 2, he shows you the mindset of a Jew. Because a Jew thinks differently than a Gentile. In chapter 3, he shows you that the Jew follows the Old Testament law, and the Gentile, before the law, followed his own conscience. And in both cases, the Jew with the law and the Gentile with his conscience fails to solve the sin problem that man's got. Then in chapter 4 and 5, he takes it to the next level, and he shows you that the Jew and the Gentile both have the same problem, but one follows the law, the other one follows his conscience. But the truth of the matter is, we've got to now, in the New Testament, get the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ because that's the only way we can solve the problem. See how he's building chapter by chapter? Then after he gets to chapter 5, when he starts chapter 6, it changes. Because in chapter 6, he starts to talk about, okay, now that Christ has died on the cross, this is how everything affects us now as a Christian. And in chapter 6, he relates Christ dying on the cross to how that you and I are dead in Christ. And in chapter 7, he shows us how that because now in the New Testament, in the body of Christ, the church, we're not under the law anymore. Then in chapter 8, he talks about now that we are a Christian and we're in Christ and we're not subject to these Old Testament things anymore, there's going to be a future redemption of your body. And he talks about your glorified body. Then in chapter 9, 10, and 11, he says, oh, just because you're in the New Testament, don't think that God's all finished with the nation of Israel. So he throws three chapters in to show you what God's doing with Israel and what he's going to do with Israel. Then in chapter 12, he goes back to say, okay, now you got the understanding of Israel. Now let me show you, as a Christian, here's how you get along with unsaved people. He says in chapter 13, okay, now that you're a Christian, here's your Christian viewpoint of your government. And he says in chapter 14, okay, now that you're a Christian, here's how you get along with other Christians. And then he says in chapter 15, and now that you're a Christian, here's your job as a New Testament Christian in the body of Christ under the guidelines of New Testament structure. And then in chapter 16, he says goodbye to everybody and he closes out the book. But what he does is give you the complete breakdown. of how Romans works. Romans, without a doubt, is one of the most complicated books in the Bible, unless you see it in its basic, simplistic, definitive form. And that's what I just gave you. I gave you the lowest common denominator of the toughest book in the Bible, maybe outside of Proverbs. Certainly the toughest book in the New Testament. And I gave you the bottom line, and that's all this book is about. And if you start reading those chapters with those things in mind, you'll get a lot more out of the book of Romans. And you know what? When you're discipling somebody down the line and you're teaching them the Bible and you're laying out the Word of God and you're giving him all those things and they're asking questions and suddenly you go to the book of Romans and somebody says, well, you know what? Maybe next week could you help me understand the book of Romans, because I've tried to read that and it's tough. You know what you got? You go to the basic, definitive outline and you teach the book of Romans and it lays itself out. That's how you do it. And the books of the Bible can be a little more complicated simply because that your outlines vary. But I'm telling you, once you get the outline, and every Sunday morning, I will, and I have done this every Sunday morning. Some of you catch it, some of you don't. Every Sunday morning, I tell you and give you the outline and break it down and say, you know what, this is what you want to remember about this book. And it's the simplest thing. And all I've done is just basically, when we get to Romans chapter 6, or when we get to the book of Romans on Sunday, all I'm going to do is give you the thing that I just gave you. Maybe a little more detail with a little bit of sauce added to it to spice it up and to hit some points that we need to look at and understand. But it'll be. Because whatever I do with Romans, however complicated I get with Romans, however I lay out Romans with such degree of depth, it all is nothing more than building on that basic outline that I put in my Bible 25 years ago of how the definitive book of Romans lays itself out. It's just as simple as that. Okay, now we're going to hold up there. I've given you a lot of material tonight, but let me just say some things. Let me, before you get all, don't turn me off yet. Listen to me. There's some things that we need to remember tonight, something we want to cover. Just to reinforce them in your little minds. We want to remember now that when we come to the Bible, no matter what aspect we're in, I gave you like 7 or 8 different aspects of how that we're going to break this down to put reference notes in your Bible. We always start with the lowest common denominator. We start with the basic thing where you can't go any lower. You can't get Romans any lower than what I gave you. You can't get the Old Testament and the New Testament any lower than I gave you. You can't get the Bible any lower than what I gave you. It is the bottom bedrock. There's nothing under it. You see, you could take the Bible and say, well, the Bible is the great plan of salvation, how God came down to man. And that's true, but that's not the lowest form. But when people start there and they stop there and they never break it down, you know what they come up with? They come up with a concept that salvation then is the theme of the Bible, see? They'll come up with a concept, well, salvation then's the theme of the Bible. You know what they do with that? They make salvation more important than God makes it, because salvation is not the theme of the Bible. Calvary's cross is not the theme of the Bible. The theme of the Bible is the second coming of Christ and the establishment of those two kingdoms, because that's the bottom line. When you stop and you say, salvation is the most important thing, when you start to say, well, you know what? Crucifixion is the theme of the Bible. God dying for men, da-da-da-da-da-da. I understand all of that. But you know where that leads you? If you don't get to the lowest bottom denominator, you come to the place where you think you make that such a major doctrine that everybody in the Old Testament just had to look forward to Christ, and everybody in the New Testament has to look back. And that's not true. We may look back, but there ain't nobody in the Old Testament looked forward to Christ, death on the cross, because that wasn't the issue. You know what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 about Abraham? It says he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He didn't look for the crucifixion. He looked for a city. Why? Because he's looking for a kingdom from Genesis chapter 15. But when you don't get it down to its lowest common denominator, you don't get the true concept, and then you get off track. And when you get off track, you stay off track when it comes to the Bible. I don't know too many people who get off track with the Bible that ever get back on track. Because the track, the farther you go, the more wilder you get and the more out of line you get, and you can't get back. You've always got to stay with the Bible and putting in your material, understanding that it is based on the lowest common denominator of defining it. That's what we're going to do. You wait till we get into the verses. I've got 40 or 50 that's going to run the range of every subject you ever thought about. And when you get them cataloged in your Bible the way I show you, there won't be much that anybody can ask you about the Bible, because it just covers about everything that every dingbat out there wants to know about the Word of God and at work, the people you're dealing with. And all you got to do is just know how to reference it. I'll show you how to do it. I got examples of it for you. And I'll show you how to make that thing in such a fashion that in time, you'll absolutely learn how to put your Bible together. The reference will not just be here anymore. It'll be up here. And all you're doing is adding to everything I've given you. And 5 years from now, you'll be able to take Romans chapter 1, just like I gave you. When somebody says to you, boy, I need you to teach the book of Romans, you'll just lay that thing out and lay it out like nobody ever heard it. Because there isn't too many people in this world that get the Bible down to its lowest common denominator. And they miss a lot when they don't. And they never get the true base text of the Bible because they never see it in its lowest form. And that's where you've got to start. You've got to start in its definitive form. You define it and then you build on it. You don't build it and then try to define it. You define it first, then you build on it. That is an absolute fundamental rule of putting the Bible together. And that's where we're at. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. And next week we'll jump right on into it. And, you know, we'll move along here in some of these bigger pieces. But when we get into the verses, we got 40 or 50 of them to go through. You'll see, because I want to not just go through them, I want to explain them and show you how they work and put it together for you in the process. No use doing it without doing it right. So, but when we're done, you're going to have something, and you'll have it, and you'll be able to put it in, and you have a little project where you can really make it work for you, and you'll see how easy that Bible becomes. Any questions before I close? I know I talked a lot tonight, never. And you can, and I didn't say this, I'm sorry, you can raise your hand. I may wait till I get finished my thought, because my track gets derailed, my mind gets derailed, I never get back on track. But any questions about anything I said? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father.